I think you should have your level three to own an affiliate. That, like, if
he
you want to have,
he just went from you should have your level four. You should have your level four.
I didn't finish the full statement. That was the controversial part.
Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez
and me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the best hour of your day.
Oh, this is so much fun when we are live with people, seeing each other. This is so much better.
We're going to talk to you guys about our new business endeavor. Yeah. We're starting a
garage university.
Yes.
Garage.
How to buy garage space.
No, I think Nicole is trying to murder us. I think she's like, come to the new spot. There's a few dead bodies
here. Don't tell anybody where you're going.
It's not that eerie. I mean, that part is back there. There's no windows.
I was too afraid to go back there. No, this is going to be the new CrossFit Roots.
This is the new CrossFit Roots.
When anticipated opening date?
May 13th.
Cool. Yeah, we were at the current spot. This is
a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger. Hey, some of the
this
big
is your
thing.
Third location?
One, two,
four.
Fifth. I mean, we have Garage, we have Pearl Street, we have 30th Street.
30th was your bigger one that you guys weren't for a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then our current space on 38th Street, and then this.
This is really close.
To our current space?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
And you have a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's way bigger. You got a kitchen back there. The bathrooms
cemetery
are nice.
Bathrooms
there,
so. Aren't.
That's where they put the dead bodies back there.
You know, or the running route.
Does the train run on those tracks?
I believe so, but I have not actually seen a train go by while I've been here yet.
Because I actually, when we moved to Boulder, right across Arapahoe is where we rented.
Oh, yeah.
So that train, I think if it's the same train, it definitely runs
to it.
Yeah. Like,
we'll see.
Five
maybe
in the
we'll
morning.
Go by today.
We have right by. We have We're one talking. That goes by our gym. It's like 100 meters from the gym.
And you stop realizing it once it's been around for. You've been around.
I heard it for the first time in a long time the other day. I was like, oh yeah, we have a train there.
That's yeah.
Right. So no, this is awesome. So
are you excited?
I'm beyond excited.
Are you
it's
gonna
the reason that I decided we should do the podcast here?
Yeah,
you're well, like, and the gym great. Was too busy. So that was also
I honestly thought that you. Had moved in already. I saw the social media.
I did not
media
make post. That clear. Yeah,
but I think this is great. I think this is cool.
You know, you get the before. This is the before.
Are you gonna
and
put
we'll
that?
Do the after.
We'll do another one. Yeah, here yeah. When it's open. Yeah. Are you gonna put that picture of Eric doing a handstand in here? I don't know if you remember that from the old spot. But if you're working a level one or level two, you constantly think someone is inverted. There's like a what do they call it? Like a fathead.
I guess it's an actual head sticker.
Yeah.
It's a full size person. And Eric's really good friend, Kem, who's also a longtime member at the gym, decided that Eric needed a life size human sticker of him upside
like
down doing handstand push up.
Need a life size human sticker of ourselves somewhere.
The thing is I'm sure that one will appear when we move to the new
like
spot,
that.
And I'm okay with that.
I may or may not mail you one.
Well, here we are. We've had Nicole on the podcast in the past, one of our most listened to, most downloaded episodes. And we are excited to be here. Fern's in town, the crew's in town, because we've got the Affiliate Summit in Denver this weekend.
Fun.
You're going to be there?
Of course.
CrossFit Mob.
Yeah, it's CrossFit Mob in Denver. Huge box. I've done a couple competitions there. And it's probably
competing?
This was years ago, but I did come in third.
It was like 3 months ago.
I did come in third. I did make the quarterfinals.
Did you make quarterfinals?
Of course you did.
Quarterfinals. I'm in the least fit I've been in a long time, by the way, too.
I had no intention, and I actually thought they came and went, and I got the email.
That you were invited?
Yeah.
Here's
I did not,
question.
I did not sign up.
Are you going to do it?
No. It's when we're in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't think we'd be able to.
No. But then it made sense because we're going to be, I knew Proven was hosting it, so all this other stuff. Anyway, we got Nicole Christensen.
Did you make it?
Of course you did,
and you're fit.
Yeah. Of course. That's, I mean, 25% is a pretty broad range. Like
I mean,
1/4.
Check her math on that. Double check that. I don't
that's
know.
No, Nicole went to math school.
There's no way to know if that's true.
That's true. No way.
But I was surprised to make it. But we're here to talk about leveling up. we, you know, Fern and I are very dogmatic. Well, I'm often dogmatic and like, here's why you should do things mm-hmm. or here's what you should do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why you should do it rather than just like, hey, it's been 5 years. I'm going to redo this or I'm going to take that. You're involved, you know, with some of the interworkings of HQ. I don't know what.
The interworkings.
But let's.
She has all the answers.
Let's educate the listeners and help them understand where the value is in leveling up.
Yeah. For your affiliate, for your coaches, for your everything.
Yeah. So let's start here.
Yeah.
Every affiliate has, you know, 20, 30, 100 members.
Okay.
Where's the value in just your everyday member who potentially has no desire to coach in taking their level
one? Oh, man. I could go on and on about you've it. Had, here's the whole podcast.
You've had more than 100 people take the level one out of your gym.
And I,
dude, I walk into her gym. It's literally wall to wall with judging certificates.
Oh, yeah.
Like literally every member.
We do hold the affiliate record for most number of affiliate members take the judges course.
And
I like it.
But I have a reason for that. That's not just
points,
take the judge
points for the open.
Well, yeah, but there's an underlying reason.
Oh, what is it? Tell us.
No. I mean,
if you would just shut up and let her talk, we'd get there.
I think we had this problem last time.
Yeah.
So if you talk about standards in your gym every single day and you tell people your toes need to touch the bar and they have to touch the bar at the same time and, you know, no, close doesn't actually count. And you say all these things. And the thing is that it's one way to hear them. And when our athletes go and take the judges course, I mean, I wish I had like a dollar for every time someone would come and say, hey, I took the judges course. And I actually get what you mean now when you guys say toes to bar, or that was really helpful for my own movement. And so it's not really about, yes, we need judges, and yes, it makes us feel like we're running a really high quality and level open at the gym. But I think that the trickle-down value is then everything that we're trying to set the standard for and that we're trying to have the waft through the gym about why it matters if you squat below parallel,
right,
what counts and what doesn't. It's like another reinforcing thing that just helps our coaches be able to communicate better, do their job better, and just get everybody on the same page. So yes, it's for points for the intramural open team. That's for sure.
It's a great way to do it.
But
we had more people take the judges course this year than ever.
Yeah.
I think 30.
I love the judges course.
She has like 100.
I know.
Also, I call them toes close to bar.
Uh-huh.
Who?
Me.
Me?
That's what I call them. Yeah. I'm like,
toes?
That's what I made the quarterfinals. I'm like,
his legs are just enough. Too short. He can't.
I just wear big shoes. I wear big shoes.
Did you have a certified judge?
No, she was
there
not certified. It was,
there we go.
It was the wife, and I did bribe her. So.
Yeah.
But let's talk about it.
Okay.
Why should every member take the level one?
Okay. So I don't, if you think about the lifespan of someone that does CrossFit, so first you start doing CrossFit, and then you because you love the workout or you love going to the gym and seeing all your friends, and then you get 6 months in and you're like, okay, I really actually want to get better at this thing, and you get a little bit more involved, and then all of a sudden you start doing the nutrition piece. 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. If you're going to commit, just as a starting point, if you're going to commit that much time mm-hmm. to something that matters to you, why wouldn't you go spend 2 days learning about it so that you can do it better throughout the course of that experience?
That's a good point.
I mean, I think about like things that I care about, like skiing. I really wanted to get better at skiing. So I went to like a 3-day camp to get better at skiing because I just want the enjoyment of being able to do it better and keep up with my kids as they get older. But
that too.
But that anything like
drivers.
Yeah. But no, Fern, you and your wife just came back from a real estate convention.
Yeah, it was like, if we're going to do that, I should probably know something about it.
It's like anything, like you get a coach.
Right. You get a coach and you get, and so yes, we've had the very fortunate opportunity that we've hosted the level one for so many years and we've had host spots and we always give them away because I want more of my athletes to be able to have that experience. And so I think from a very personal level, whether you're at an affiliate or whether you're not, just think, what's something that you enjoy in your life that you want to get the most out of that you know you're going to dedicate for years and years and years? Why wouldn't you go spend 2 days? And I think like anything else, you go to that 2-day experience and then you walk away from it. You're like, I want to do this better. I want to do this better. Oh, this clicked. Oh, I didn't know this. Oh, I can share this better with the person next to me that I know is also interested in CrossFit.
Right.
And so there's just so many wonderful things about that I have always been just a big proponent that it's not a course just for people that want to coach. Yes, it's the starting point, but it is such a course for anybody that wants to be a better CrossFitter, learn about the methodology and have fun with it.
I think it's more of it's an idea more than anything. Like the level one, that kernel is just like, okay, it's for people that want to get that credential. You know, if we're thinking of it from a very objective standpoint, that's what it's for. But it's really, it's an idea. Like, here's what this thing is about. Here's what we believe. Here's the theories that we, all of this is based on. And I think a lot of the, I think about, we regularly have people that have, you know, insert whatever cultural issue you're having in the gym.
Yes.
Almost all of those, with the exception of like, that person just sucks, which that happens. They're almost all as a result of some sort of knowledge gap about this CrossFit thing, meaning like they're on this side of the river, I'm on that side of the river, and we're just yelling at each other across clarity. The river.
Yeah. So that's the next part then, is that, and so like, okay, so that's your base layer of like, let's get all these people into the same thought process and introduce them to this thing that we want them to do, not just today or next year, do this type of fitness for a little bit, but for the rest of their life.
Right.
Let's get them that good foundation. But then to your point, is it reinforces every single thing that we talk about at CrossFit Roots on the gym floor. People will come back and be like, I get the programming now. I get why I'm supposed to, I'm supposed to show up on these days. Oh, I understand why you guys do that now.
Threshold training. That's why you told me to slow down.
Yeah, like all these things, it just reinforces the message and then makes your culture at your gym that much stronger. And so if you've got 100 people wafting around the gym that have all been to the level one, now when somebody comes and they're helping reinforce your message. So then, you know, we had this a little bit ago that somebody was kind of like talking about why you do the long, they really like the longer workouts and they just wish there were more of them. And I didn't even have to answer the question.
Variance. Somebody just yelled variance in the room.
But one of our athletes just talked them through it. And, you know, it was a side conversation that I heard going on kind of at the end of skill work. And I was just like, this is so freaking
like
cool.
Glowing with pride. You're like,
I'm so proud
you guys are now.
But it was so awesome because that's what you want. That's what helps reinforce your culture.
Right.
And so I do think that, you know, if there's a way that you promote that, I mean, I've had these pipe dreams of like, you know, could we do something that, after you've been a member for 10 years, we send you to the level one. Like I've thought about this for like years. Like how
That'd
do we,
amazing.
I know, or 5 years or like, is it, I mean, what point's the right point? And I just, I haven't really landed on the exact way I want to do it, but I just think that it, just like anything, the longer that you do something, if you can find a way to go to that 2-day course, I think that the trickle down effect of what then you get out of CrossFit is that much bigger, not only for you, but also for your affiliate.
Well, if someone's listening, they're like, that's cool and all, but not me.
Right.
Collectively, we've worked 1,000 level ones.
I mean, very many.
Right.
And many, many people.
We've all experienced it hundreds of times. You finish the seminar like, man, either I wish I did that sooner.
Yes.
Or I'm so glad I did it. I have no intention of coaching, or now I want to coach.
Right.
So to anyone listening,
just go do it.
Just go do it.
We get it. Let's
be honest. Like we're all biased here for sure, but
no.
It's a fun 2 days. It's a fun 2 days.
It's fun. We get it. There's a barrier with price, but like Nicole said, if anything you're doing in life that's worth doing, it's worth getting better at.
I also like to go back to my dad's cost per use teaching when I was a kid.
That's great. Yeah.
You know, so the $300 pair of jeans I bought at some point in college, and he was just appalled that I then wore every day for like 6 years. You know, we did the little divide by the 300 and see how many cents it was per use. I mean, if you're going to crop it that many times.
It's dumb not to do it.
Right.
Dad, I need to buy this.
Dad, I need to go to the level one. Because your cost per use, I mean, you're doing CrossFit every day. You're doing it 3 days a week,
and
5 days a week.
And to be completely transparent, you're doing it 24 hours a day.
Exactly.
Right? Like
totally.
Nutrition,
you're right. Doing that
like,
part.
All that
it's
stuff.
A lifestyle. Yeah. It's a lifestyle.
It is, 100%. So,
okay, we talked a little about the level one now, and that's the launch pad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why should someone take the level two? Why is it the essence of being an effective coach?
I don't know another course that I've taken through coaching, whether it was teaching swimming, growing up, collegiate swimming, which was my main coaching application, softball a little bit, that really broke down the elements of what the construct of coaching is, separate of an application to like a specific sport that does it better than CrossFit. So I understand that it is the level two about, you know, it's about coaching CrossFit. But when you think about what the material is, you could insert those principles into coaching any sport. And
it's,
I think
they're universal.
About this
they're
a little
universal.
Bit last time that, you know, I'll go, my kids are really into gymnastics and biking, and I listen to their coaches, and some of them I'm like, oh yeah, that was short, direct, and actionable. Oh, that was specific. But my kids also pick up on the coaches that, you know, they talk too much. They talk so long that I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. They're saying it back to me and I'm not prompting them.
And they're young kids.
I was sitting at, what day is today? Today's Wednesday. Yes, I was sitting at T-ball practice yesterday afternoon.
Who's doing T-ball, Chappie or Logan? Yes,
it's
Chappie.
A nightmare, by the way. I have a lot of parental patience practicing in there.
Are you coaching?
How are you missing the ball, Chappie? How are you missing?
No, I actively stay out of it because I'm like, there will be a time and a place where he and I have those interactions and I don't want it to be when he's five. But to your point about teaching, mm-hmm. So I'm watching this coach try to get this kid who doesn't care about anything that they're doing, try to get into a stance so that he can bat. And he's like trying to walk him through it. And I'm like, dude, just show him. I just want to be like, hey, just do this.
Put right
there.
Here.
Visual cue.
Just a visual cue. And it was just like, we were talking about that. And I'm like, those things, when you pick them up, I'm like, oh, I don't have to say anything. I'm like, hey, do this. And he would do it because I do it with him and Logan in the backyard. When I want them to change something, I don't talk them through it. I'm like, hey, you look like this, do that. And they're like, I'm like, perfect. Now elbow up, and they're elbow up. And I'm like, great. That's what you want. And I'm like, that's the point, right? It's not about CrossFit.
Right. And I think, so obviously the level two is built for CrossFit, but I think from a coaching application, if you're really thinking about, I want to coach CrossFit, it gives you such a, it allows you to focus on what matters right from the get-go. It's so easy to get, you know, you take the level one and then you go start coaching. But going to the level two, it forces you to start working on what is actually going to make improvement in your athlete's movement, in their relationship, in your relationship with them. And that, where do you get that as a launching point for any coaching thing? It's not that familiar, or it's not that common.
It's the
and
best course out there.
I couldn't agree more. And I really do think that whether you're doing it to coach CrossFit or those concepts can work for another sport, it's all there. And so I think the other part is that a lot of affiliates have coaches that are coming from within their affiliate, which I think is awesome. I think that's a wonderful part.
Probably the vast majority.
But they're not seeing other coaching when that happens.
Well, like they're hiring coaches from within.
But because of that, the coaches don't experience any other coaching.
Right. But also it's your asked, forced, that's the landscape to coach in front of your peers or the people
that's
that you're supposed to be taking class with. And so to have that leg up, to go to the level two, to be able to make the mistakes, have some fun. Like it's fun. We just did a level two a couple of weeks ago. Right. And go spend time with other people that this is what they want to do. This is what they're excited about. It's just, so I
without the pressure of like, these are my, so there's your peers in there, but these are people that like know me. And then like, I was just,
right. I was one of them last week.
Correct. Yeah,
right, exactly. And there's a balance between, you know, how much you hire from in and how much maybe you bring people in from the outside. But if you have a relationship with your athletes, it's a great place to go and just say like, I'm going to spend some time in a judgment-free environment to then go back and bring that back. And it also, I think, ties together for the new coach. If they were an athlete, there's that, it's like the level one, but for the level two. It's like they go and there's that much more that clicks for them when they've been taking this class. They've been the athlete. They've obviously shown coachability. They've shown the ability to scale movements, that the desire to move well because they're coming to coach.
Right.
But now they're like, oh, that's why you guys do that. Oh, that's why the lesson plan does this. And there's all these pieces that just start to come together for them that I don't think you can do by saying like, oh, now we flipped the switch. You went from athlete to coach. Now you're supposed to look at this entire thing that we do from a different perspective. I think the level two is such a good place to like make that jump.
To your point that you mentioned earlier, as a box owner or a leader, right? Like just say you're not the box owner, just say you're a GM or the head coach or whatever that title is, who's basically in charge of all of the other coaching staff.
Right.
I feel that you are at a severe disadvantage of developing your staff if you have not taken that course. How are you going to lay the groundwork for like, this is how this should be done. This is effective coaching with regard to teaching, seeing, correcting, group management, presence and attitude, demonstrate. Like, how are you going to do that if you've not seen it, been given feedback on it? Like, in no other world, professional world, would you go in there and teach other people without having gone through some sort of checklist or some sort of litmus test to be like, hey, you understand this. And if somebody's put eyes on you to do this.
100%.
You know?
Well, on that note, recently, the mandate is you have to have your level two.
Which, I'm going to say something controversial.
Uh-oh, first time.
I both agree and disagree with that.
Well, tell us more.
Here's why.
Well, that's not controversial, right? That's not
controversial. It's like milk political.
But I brought this up and I was like, I think that should be the case. Now, there are part of me, which is kind of like the Greg Glassman on this shoulder, is just like, hey, I don't want to increase the barrier for more affiliates, right? Because I'm always very sensitive to the fact that like none of us had to do that. And if we didn't have to do that, we may not have affiliates.
Right. If we did have to do it, it might have been a barrier.
It might have been a barrier, right? And I think
it would have been a barrier.
Maybe not. But my point is like it is another hoop that they do have to jump through. But my point is like I do think you should have I think you should have your level three to own an affiliate. That like if
he
you
just
have,
went from he just went from
Canadian to
you should have your level four. You should have your level four.
I didn't finish the full statement. That was the controversial part. I think this is my opinion. Wave magic wand and make me king for a day, I would not mandate it, but that is my personal opinion.
Never do that.
That is my personal opinion that I think if you were gonna own an affiliate, I think you should have that level of knowledge of this methodology. And when we created our level system inside of affiliate, you for a level three gym, I don't care how good your gym is doing, if you don't have a level three CrossFit training credential, you're not getting a level three.
And you haven't done 80% of the curriculum, which is a big part of it, right? Correct. Like you have to
understand how to do all
but
of this.
To your point, with something you said, it wouldn't have been a barrier because of who we are, right? And I think the flip side of Glassman is it should be a little challenging because we want the right people to do you, Nicole, me. If they would have been like a level four,
I'd
be like, cool, sign me up.
But we could all probably pull somebody out of that group who never had those intentions, who got the bug at some point later, who would not have done it had that been the requirement.
Well, what comes first? I hear you, but like, what comes first? Do you want to be the type of person that gets that, or do you become the type of person that gets it? What do you think?
Well, I think it's like anything. You can't, anytime you make a rule, there are going to be people that fall outside of that rule.
100%.
And that's just the reality of life. That's whether it's like sports or school or politics or, you know, whatever it is, there's going to be, you know, somebody's going to be left out. And so, yes, what is the best fit scenario for the goals of what we're trying to accomplish to take this thing called CrossFit and foster it within an affiliate development plan that facilitates, you know, great things, whether you walk in a gym in Boulder, Colorado or in, you know, Seattle, Washington.
What is the time frame after this year for them to get it as an affiliate owner? So I'm starting from scratch. I think it's 12 months.
I thought they had to have it by the time.
No, it's within a certain time window of opening your affiliate. At least that's what it was when they announced
it. So in other words, they announced at the end of the year, if your affiliate dues were in February, you had till next.
And I think this gets lost in, okay, so like there's obviously, you know, that part, but it's like at the heart of it, what is the level two delivering to our ability to teach, coach, and get people results, which is what makes us successful. And you can say financially successful, you can say successful in getting people results, you can say successful in terms of developing a thriving community, but what is it about the level two that delivers that? And I think that's the heart of it, is like, take away why it's required or how it's required. The level two is the thing that, I don't know if groom is the right word, but it grooms everybody to focusing on the stuff that matters you think about coaching.
If there was if we were going to go full like quality assurance on the whole community, it's the first check in that list of quality assurance. Meaning like if you can't do this and you don't understand this, you fail. And that's where I think that where that comes in is just like, you can't be simultaneously complaining about quality assurance in the community and complaining that now you have to have your level two credential. And you see a lot of that. And I'm like, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Like,
everyone wants quality reassurance.
And listen, and I said this years ago, and I was like, be careful. You're waving that flag around and you're going to get smacked with it because you don't like whatever they make the baseline level.
Well, and by the way, most of the people saying that don't have quality.
Correct. What is your within roots? So just speak to CrossFit Roots. What is your expectation or your outline or whatever for your coaching staff? Is that something that you're like, yeah, you need to get that at some point?
So somebody walks in, I want to, or they're a member already, I want to coach. Well, yeah, what does that process look like?
Yeah, so we kind of have two different tracks because, and this actually just changed recently, which will be interesting. So historically, if you were a substitute coach, you took the level one, and then we had you take the level two within the next couple years. Mm-hmm. And then that really stalled them out. Because with the level three, with the old hours requirement, you know, one of our substitute coaches is just this wonderful, you know, coach that's just really dug in for so long, but she never made the hours.
Because you need, what, 750?
Yeah. It was 750. Yeah.
And so there was just a block there. And so, you know, we did some things where we kind of had the pay ceiling, you know, for that level two, but then, you know, she's been doing all the right things and just is such a wonderful component to our team and people love taking our classes. It's like, okay, well, you have to acknowledge that. So yeah, there was a pay, you know, raise associated there with what we could do. And then for our full-time coaches, we basically said that once you had the required, not basically, but we say, once you have the required number of hours, so you have the 750, you have a 2-year runway to take and pass the level three for our bonus structure.
How long was that typically taking?
To be honest, I didn't track it. They just did it. I mean, so we gave a bonus. Yeah,
if you just tell everybody that's what you need to do, it's done.
Yeah, no, I was curious.
You know, you get a pay raise and you also get a bonus. And so there's
they get a dollar bonus.
Dollar bonus.
Not like $1, but like,
no.
Here's money.
Yeah, so they get a $3,000 bonus for level three and a $9,000 bonus for the level four.
You give them, that's massive.
This is for full-timers or anybody?
This is for before it was only available to our
full-time staff.
Yeah. Oh. But now with the change of level three, you know, now once they become eligible with those hours, then they'll be eligible to take the level three within 2 years.
Just because I know, like, Amy, for example, she's a coach there, takes her level.
She just started coaching, yep.
Oh, she wasn't coaching prior? Mm-hmm. So, okay, insert coach's name. They take their level one. Take their level two. I've hit my 750. I passed my level three. Not only do I get a bump in pay per class.
Per class, yeah.
You cut them a check for $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That would certainly motivate coaches around the world.
Well, I think this is the universal tension between go do this, get higher credentials for the intrinsic value of being a better coach because you love coaching and it's the thing you want to do and you love. And you also need to make a career, but you know, we're not going to pay you that much to do it, but you should really love it for the intrinsic value. Like you have to have both. Like this is
you're
the
like,
same.
Yeah.
You're speaking my love language.
Okay, but I mean like, but this is no different than like, you can't love coaching and do all the coaching things and have shitty business practices behind the front desk.
No, you can. You just will not be successful.
But that's what I'm saying is like, right. Yeah. And you'll,
a lot of people do
with coaching though, right? Like you have to, I mean, this is probably my big thing that I've always just been really passionate about because I do love coaching. Cause I think I've probably told this story too many times, but you know, when I started coaching, I was going to go coach collegiate swimming at the collegiate level. And I moved out there and I was coaching and I loved it. I was like, I'm on the deck, I'm doing it. And I think when I divided out what I was making versus like, you know, being at the meets and doing all stuff, I was making like $4.75 an hour.
Definitely like, not going to make the new minimum wage requirements.
Yeah, I was like, I
coach wrestling. I was making like 12 cents an hour.
You know, and then I got a second job and then I was working at the bike shop and then I was like, yeah, and then it was like two, you know, and then I'm taking hours off. It just did not work. And so when we opened the gym and, you know, I definitely read Greg's articles and I was like, this is something that when I think of like the profession of coaching, I want to create that opportunity. Are you going to be a gazillionaire? No. Are you going to be able to have a really nice life and work hard? Like you got to work hard. You got to coach the hours. You got to do the thing and be rewarded for that in a way that allows you to enjoy this profession for all that it can offer. And there are so many different things I think that we don't highlight enough to coaches. Like, I mean, you guys have kids. I mean, one of the things I remember when I opened my affiliate was this idea that this is something that I could do. I could create, I could work my ass off. And I could also pick my kids up from school.
It's That's what we just
and
spoke about.
If you do it right, it's the ultimate lifestyle business.
Well, that's what I mean. And so, like, yes, you can have the trade-offs of, like, oh, man, I had 7 sessions today and I've been on my feet. Like, big fucking deal.
Hey, it's like, 3 o'clock. You're done.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, like, you know, there's tons of professions where we're on our feet for 8, 10, you know, like,
doing
go to a hospital.
Worse things.
Well, and so, but that's the thing is, like, for every profession, there's a trade-off. And, you know, there's also just, there's so many lifestyle factors about how it keeps you in the groove of all the things that matter. When you think about as you do get older, like, what are the things that matter? You want to be able to spend time with your kids. You want to be able to, you know, do all the things that keep you focused on health and longevity. And there's literally, I can't think of a better way to do it than be working within the walls of a CrossFit gym. And what's the trickle down effect of that? Like, you know, one of your coaches comes in and is like, hey, I'm doing a month of macros. Like, you want in? Okay, great. Like all these different little things that just help you.
Hey, don't drink caffeine for an hour and a half.
Hey, what do you think about it?
It's terrible.
I know, but is it working? Do you wake up more like bright eyed?
I do. We work together.
I started doing that like 2 months
ago. Nicole mentioned it at the last seminar. And I'm usually pretty good about it, but because she said it, I was like, I'm going to do
it. You mean from point of wake up?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. 90 minutes.
Where did you come up with that?
Huberman.
Okay. Oh, you got it from Chris Which Williamson from Modern Wisdom, but yeah. He talks about it because Element is one of his.
Okay.
And I've been doing a drink and I put an Element in it. Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I do. So I push the coffee off 90 minutes, but I have that with some other stuff in the morning first. And yeah, I don't know if I've noticed anything, but.
Well, I was telling you yesterday, like my energy is all day now. And I think that's part of it. I think just simply.
I don't wake up groggy.
Yeah.
I don't wake up groggy. And that's my favorite part of it is like, I used to be that person. Eric used to make fun of me because, you know, that scene in Jerry Maguire where he's like,
I love getting up in the morning. I clap my hands and say, this is going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day. And I feel like that's been me. That's me. That's been my whole life. It's like, the sun's up. Let's go do things. And I felt like, I don't know if I really felt that the past, I don't know, a couple years. And I feel like just by delaying that, and I don't do a lot of like the hacking stuff. I actually don't listen to Huberman.
I don't either.
It was a total coincidence that I listened. Somebody sent me that podcast and I listened to it on some random long drive I had. And I was like, oh, I feel like that thing found me. It was supposed to find me.
Yeah, I started doing it just randomly. Valuable. But to go back to what you were talking about earlier, and this is the point that we try to stress. And it's a real pet peeve of mine, honestly, which is like, yes, we want you to get the credentials. Having credentials will not make you successful as a CrossFit box. I'm going to say that as an outright statement of fact. You need to have both, right? Because I know plenty of coaches that are really good that started and closed affiliates. You have to have both.
Yeah.
And on top of that, going back to like you're giving these bonuses, these are the other things that a company running a sound business is that I get to build a culture where professional achievement is now baked into the cake. Mm-hmm. And that's expected of the coaching staff. They're like, you should pursue that. A, you are going to get some money for it. But like now I've just created this peer pressure in the group, which is like, nobody wants to be the turd. They don't. Nobody wants
to be like,
you know what I did today? I was the shittiest person here. High five for me. That's not a thing. You have to create that culture. And that is one way of doing it. But also there's something really rewarding about giving people careers. Like that's really rewarding. Yeah. And going back to like the lifestyle piece, you're probably not going to be a gazillionaire. I think you can create a fair amount of wealth owning a CrossFit gym. I think that's a real thing if you're not a dummy.
I
was even speaking from like the coaching perspective. I'm like, you know, one day when I don't own CrossFit Roots or I, you know, move on or whatever, like I want to go work in a CrossFit gym. Like, yeah, like there's.
I'll probably just be bebopping around scrubbing the floors in 30 for your ears. I'm just like.
I don't know if scrubbing the floors would be my first choice of things I could pick.
That's my first choice. But I'm going to be a floor scrubbing dude.
Rapid fire.
Uh-oh.
You found out the level 3. I think we all probably found out at the same time. We're on staff. I don't know about you guys. I got 2013.
No, it's 13, yeah.
Because I know because like, we're 13, validating, right?
In May.
I got an email from Nicole Carroll, like, cool, you got to take this. You don't have to, but this is going to be a requirement.
Oh, I definitely read it as you have to.
But I think it was you have to, but you wouldn't get fired if you failed or whatever. So what happened? So I'll tell you what happened to me. I got that email. I was like, cool, like, you got to go sign up. I was like, we had 30 days or something, but wherever I had to take it, literally tomorrow was the only day that it was available at the testing center. And I was dating a girl at the time. And we had plans to like go on a lake or something. It was like July. And I was like, I guess I'm taking it tomorrow. And I passed. How did you guys?
I registered and went in and took it.
So you didn't, yeah. I'm just saying like, I didn't study at all. Did you guys study?
FWI for CrossFit for my Flowmaster. And I said that if I couldn't just walk in and take that without studying, I shouldn't be a Flowmaster and I shouldn't really be a, yeah. So I just went and took it.
It was, no,
that's the way I took the level 4.
Yeah, no, but in that moment, I was like, "Cool, I've got 30 days. I'll watch one of these videos."
He was legitimately concerned. He's like, "You're not going to coach at all." I was like,
"No, because you feel like I should be able to do this." You did for the Frogman. You're like, "I got a plan," and then I'd be like, "All right, we're 6 weeks out. What's your plan? I got one. We're 4 weeks out. You have it safe.
We go in there, fucking smash."
No, and I think for both the level 3, like we experienced, or the level 4 currently. If I heard Denise Thomas say this, like the people that pass like that are the people that never got distracted from day one.
Yeah.
We were doing constantly varied functional movements at high intensity.
And I think what you just, that's a really good way to put it. Like the level 1 through to the level 4 within your affiliate, within your athletes, like it's almost like by taking all these things, it prevents the person that's at that level from getting distracted. And so if you're an athlete in the gym and you go to the level 1, you know what? It prevents you from getting distracted from all the other crap that's out there about how else you could be training or what's like CrossFit, you know, or what your buddy's doing, and you see and you feel and you know the results, right? You go to the level 2, and as a newer coach, it prevents you from getting distracted on all the crap that doesn't matter that you can throw in for fluff or whatever you want to call it, or the stuff that, you know, is like, you're actually just physically taking up space on the floor. You're not actually coaching, right? So it prevents you from getting distracted. It's the same thing when you get to level 3, when you go take the test, it prevents you from getting distracted from all the stuff that, you know, you've, by that point, you've got a lot of knowledge. You've probably read a lot of different things, but when you start trying to flush out what is actually going to move the needle, I think that that's where that test comes into play, because you're thinking at a level that's beyond just constantly varied functional movements, execute a high intensity, and what's the workout of the day, and how do I go scale that, right? You're forced to think, I've got this athlete. How do I coach them? I've got this athlete. They haven't had a pull-up for 3 years. Why? That's my fault. Why is that? What am I not doing? What am I not seeing? And so it prevents you from getting distracted on all the stuff of like, well, maybe they could go do some tricep extensions and that's really going to be the thing that kicks them. Don't we all? But versus saying like, well, maybe they need to lose 25 pounds and that would be the better plan for them to achieve this goal of the pull-up. So it prevents you from getting distracted at that level. And then I think once you get to level 4, it's like, that's where you get to put all your work on display. And that's where you really get to say, and to your point about you didn't get distracted, or whoever said that, I really like that, because I love her.
She's all right.
Yeah.
Don't tell her. This weekend.
We're all going to see her. We're all here. We're here for that.
We're here right now, Nicole. I'm not sure where you are, but we're all here in this abandoned, creepy warehouse.
It's not creepy. It's like home. I feel like home.
Yeah, I don't know if it feels like home. Okay. But.
Two points. One, I think it's very easy for the listeners to look at us and not to put us on a pedestal. Like, oh, they're seminar staff X, Y, and Z. In 2013, you were taking your FMUI. We just got hired. So it wasn't like we had years of seminars. I had maybe worked it was early on in our...
I was 4 years.
But 2013,
I was 4 years into owning my affiliate.
Yeah, but we were only hired in 2013 on seminar staff.
Correct, yeah.
So point being, we were just doing the thing. You had a little more experience. Like, in retrospect, like being on seminars makes you a better coach because you're just seeing it over and over, listening to smarter people than you. But, you know, it's not that we did anything crazy other than continue to do
the thing. Yeah. And I think, you know, people are like, the level 4, if we're going to be very honest, like that took from 2007 until 2023.
That's
how long that took.
For you, you mean?
Yes. That's not like a 16 short endeavor.
You would have passed it.
But the point is like, it doesn't matter whether I would have passed it earlier or not. The point is like, I was waiting for it to come up, and it was never a discussion about whether I was going to go take it or not. I was like, they're like, you're going to take it? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm taking it. I'm like, why would I not take it? Like, that's insane to not take it.
That's the same thing I tell people when I took the level 2 in 2008. It was like, because it was offered. Like, Why would I not want to get better?
So is okay, and I'm going to get deep. Is that like a cultural thing that we've seen shift where like people want to stay in their comfort zone? They don't want to put themselves out there. We don't want to fail. We don't want to like.
I don't think
why.
No.
Why?
Look, we're talking about Ryan earlier.
Yeah.
Like,
I have thoughts on this, but go ahead.
I think to this day, we have people within our, you know, Best Hour affiliate you that are just like we were 16, 17 years ago. Ryan Wheeler, you know, classified fit, CrossFit Yuba City. It's like, he's not going to stop till he passes that level four.
Which is great.
And when it came out and like, we had Steven just pass, we had Adam Fuller just pass, we've had, you know, multiple, we've probably had 5-6 people pass that. It's, I think being in a community certainly drives that, but those are the type of people that in 2007 would have been just like us.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe, and that's the other part, like the power of connection, the power of like working with other people to stay. What was the phrase?
Not distracted.
To why you're doing what you're doing. Right. I mean, it's not the same, but like when you think about like an athlete, that's like, I'm a pretty good CrossFitter and I'm going to quit my job or I'm not going to go to school next year so I can train to try and qualify for semifinals. Like that's a big step.
I just said semis, not quarters. Like I've made it.
Well, you know, baby steps.
You don't have to train for that anymore.
I'm going to put it in my Instagram bio, quarterfinal athlete.
Final athlete. And that's a big statement, mm-hmm. right? For them to say like, oh, why aren't you going to school this year? Like, I'm trying to qualify for semifinals. Like that's a big commitment and a lifestyle change of what you're saying that you're going to do.
That's an all-in decision.
And that's what I was getting to, is that making that all-in decision of like, I am trying to pursue this path to be the best coach and you that I can be and have that pathway. Like that's a big commitment. It's a big statement. And so the more that it can just be kind of like, oh, it's out there and like, yeah, I'm thinking about it versus saying like, no, this is the pathway and this is what I'm trying to do and this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Like, I think that's what keeps it front and center. And then when you go to an affiliate or you're in an environment where other people are also pursuing that or other people have done it, it starts making it something that becomes a more natural process of why you're doing it.
Yeah. And we've had level fours, level threes. We've had maybe a half dozen make it on. Josh Melendez just made it. Like people making it on seminar staff even.
Oh yeah. Like in the, somewhere
and,
in the
back. And it goes back to like, what comes first? Are these the people that would have done it anyway? Or is it, you know, but.
No, nobody does that alone. You didn't do it alone. I didn't do it alone.
Did it alone.
It was an accident. We still don't know how you got here in your red stapler. I do think there has been a change, a shift in why people are not pursuing it maybe the way they did in the early days. And I think it's because somewhere along the way, the emphasis moved away. So if you go back to, if you were to just do a cursory search of the journal and if you had access to the archive and you just go and look through it. And if you went back, there is a distinct change where the focus of .com and the journal moves away from the coach and it moves to training in the games. And I think one of the main reasons, if not the reason, that I chose to pursue that is because I saw the red shirts doing the thing and I was like, fuck, that looks rad. Like watching somebody do something that well to me is intriguing. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know why this is cool, but it's cool. And I want to do that. And I think we've gotten away from that. And I think we've not done a good job highlighting affiliate owners. I think there's too many affiliate owners out there that are crushing it. I think you're one of them that people need to know about and make that cool again.
We're doing
like,
it.
Make coaching, make affiliate ownership cool again. The games is inherently cool.
Can we make t-shirts? Make affiliate ownership cool again.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Done. No,
but I mean,
I'm serious. But the games is inherently cool.
Wait, time out. When did it become not cool?
It's not as cool as the games.
There's always been this underlying... there's always been this underlying bullshit narrative that you're like, well, you're just not really going to be able to do a whole lot as an affiliate.
Or you're not going
to
make enough money.
Fucking garbage, right. Dude. I think if you don't do it well, then I think that's true. But like, there's just a lot of people that have that mindset. They're like, well, this is why you have affiliate owners. I mean, we could go pull up a rock over there and find one. They'd be like, well, I'm not really in it for the money. I'm like, then don't do this. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to grow a staff and build them, and then I'm like, then you need to be able to make money. You do need that as a vehicle to get where you want to go. And I don't think that we have to separate this idea of like, I can create a career and a profession and a future for myself by being really fucking good at this.
All right, Nicole's got a heart out.
But I think that, okay.
We got 5 minutes. So I do want to, one.
Time flies when you're on.
Cody, insert the magic of Midstate, because we are putting cool stuff together, showcasing affiliates.
Great job. Hell yeah. Incredible. Incredible what you're doing around here lately.
And when you're 45 years old and you're 50 years old and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling down and the world's beating on you, and somebody genuinely comes up to you and says, "You impressed me today." Dude, that does something to people that is just so powerful.
It's hard work, for sure. I think you have to put in what you want to get out of it. It's a fun ride. Like, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
We are trying to put out into the world our best effort. And our way of doing that has been through this magic that we've been calling Midstate CrossFit.
But that's because that's what should be happening, because everything starts in the affiliate.
We're doing it. Go watch The Magic of Midstate. Nate made a great documentary. We got another one coming about 3, 4, 6. We got Adam's Thin Air coming out. We've talked a lot about credentials within the CrossFit ecosystem. Let's take 2 minutes. What are some of the other great certifications, seminars, credentials you guys have taken that made you a better coach or better person? Because I can think back on, like, I did Tony Robbins. Have you either of you done Tony Robbins?
Nope.
No, Bergner Strength was fantastic.
Bergner Strength. Coach. I did the USAW one.
Power Monkey, the gymnastics weightlifting weekend was like
gymnastics is amazing. A good one.
But they do such a nice job of like the synergy between gymnastics and weightlifting. And then
at Power Monkey?
Oh my God. It's like, you know, I think that's where I got my, you know, you want to.
Did you just send your whole staff or like a bunch of them?
We gave it to them and they're going over the next year.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Okay.
We couldn't get coverage for the entire gym to go.
We're shutting it down, everybody.
It was a few days, right?
And I was like, do you want to come coach? And then he's like, yeah, that sounds great. And then the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, that's one person. And then I'd have to call.
How many classes a day do you think you
12 classes a day, but some of them overlap.
And just some of them are five.
Just combine the general and the cool down. It's fine.
The Power Monkey's a good one.
Power Monkey was fantastic.
What do you think, Fred?
I've always wanted to go to Power Monkey. We should go.
Yeah. Who runs that?
Who runs
it? Is it Jason Layden?
No, it's Chad Vaughn and Dave Durrani and Mike Serbis.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
I tell you what I really enjoyed, and I still listen to a lot of his stuff, what is now Power Athlete was then CrossFit Football.
Yeah.
I think John Wellborn is...
Did you guys do Cal Sue?
No, we did not. But I think he's an underrated...
what's Cal Sue again?
You have to accumulate 100 thrusters.
Every minute, yes. Do 5 burpees at 135. It was one of the few workouts I literally just quit.
Well, I quit multiple times until I did it, yeah. That was...
Yeah,
wow. I
was having a day. I don't know why. I was just like, this is fucking stupid.
It's hard. It's like super hard, heavy, metabolic. Yeah.
Let's do it the next time we work a gig.
I think it's
2 hours. All right. We can take a long lunch.
I think it's specifically that you shouldn't do that in the trainer manual.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you be lovely and wonderful when you return.
If we do what you're getting, we just have to have 10 minutes left before we can get back.
Make sure you're kempt when you come back out. Yeah.
I think it's important, right? Everybody thinks like, oh, you only push the cross. Like, because they're the best, but then there's other great, you know, specialty seminars like
I think the whole stuff like RKC.
Staying focused is that if you go level one, level two, level three, and you're not taking these detours, then you can go to a course and you can get so much value out of it, bringing it back to what you're trying to do better. It's not something where you're going to go and be like, well, here I am now. I'm, you know what? I loved the Bergner course so much. I'm just going to do Olympic weightlifting.
When we were on it and we were maces and clubs and kettlebells with John Wolf. I did like a 4 month kettlebell only thing. And just,
but it's cool. Then you come back, right?
I came back to it, but I learned a lot about a whole bunch of different stuff after I did that. I was like, it was great. And I was fitter because of it.
Yeah.
I'm doing the CrossFit educator course right now, that just came out, and you know, that's just online, but you definitely learn from it. It's really cool. Well,
100%.
I think this whole conversation is about, like, I think as you pursue further knowledge, it just gets more fun because it gets easier. And like, what's more fun than doing something you're good at that eventually becomes very easy? I'm like, nothing. Like,
no, totally. Yeah. I mean, and it's also the classic thing of like, even this weekend, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. I haven't gone and just listened and learned.
Oh, you're going as a participant.
I'm a participant.
I thought you might be presenting.
No,
oh.
I'm going to go and learn. And
Jay Clear didn't read the email that we got with all the presenters on it.
But
that's my job. Everybody.
But you can make all these.
I got like three of you. You forwarded it to me. Cody forwarded it to me.
Yeah, still didn't read it. Yeah.
Why is HQ not sending those out? Mass, like, I was like, how are we all getting these at different times? Anyway.
I don't know. But I just think you can, as you move on, you have more knowledge and you can go and learn things and take the time to do it. You just have to remember why. You can always make excuses that I don't have time for that. Or, oh, I'm building out a gym and I should be building a front desk and whatnot. But it's like, no.
Is this your desk?
This is the front desk, guys. This is
great.
It.
This is all you need.
Yeah. We're just going
to
lay a couple mats down and we'll call it good.
Actually, can I have this pallet?
This is as pallet wood.
I want to make $1. I want to make a flag. I want to make a Colorado flag.
If there's one thing that my husband despises more than anything, it's like pallet
art
and like construction, like build this with pallets. So
yeah, but I'm not Eric is like handy.
Yeah,
I'm not. This is like a 10-year project for me.
Well, or he's just gonna take this as is and use it just like that. He's not gonna make any
modifications. Hanging in my house like this. Hey, Roz, I got some new art.
That's exactly the problem. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming here, guys.
Yeah. I can't wait to see.
Are we going to see you? Are you going to be there?
I'll be there.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, check them.
That's the plan.
Check the email. Yeah.
You'll learn from this guy. Wow. Which track are you doing? The business or coaching track?
You should do the coaching track.
Yeah, you want
to. I'm going to do the business track.
If you don't know that, by the way, so when you go to the summits, they've revamped those this year. So you'll have kind of a choose your own adventure in the back half of the day. So if you want to attend talks and discussions and exercises that are coaching based, you can do that. Or if you want to go the business track, you can do that. So if you're not going, you're messing up and you should be going.
Next time we're back, this place. Hey, Nate, do one of these. It's the new spot now.
Oh, no, I got it.
In like a year, that's going to make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
May. Well, cause May 12th, dude.
No. Because we have to come back.
We got it.
No, we have to come back.
We have a little bit better timeline than that.
Next time, Fern's in town, like, Nate's in town. It's going to be one of these. Hold on.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Let's go look around.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
All right.
A pleasure.
Go have your call. Guys. Thank you so much. Yeah. We appreciate you.
See you guys next time. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.